Father, we are humbled that you include us not only in your family by adoption, by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, but then, Father, you pour out gifts upon us so that we might be prompted and moved by your indwelling spirit to exercise faithfulness, to see that others are ministered to. And Lord God, part of that is this desire to see souls come to know you. And Father, you are the provider of these resources. You are the provider of these boxes. You are the provider of the stirrings in our hearts that move us to this very day. We give you glory and honor from the very beginning. We pray now, Father, for these inanimate objects that have been packed with love and a desire to see souls come to know you. We pray, Father, that somehow in your marvelous, mysterious way, you use these items to impact the hearts of children all around the world, and then subsequently their families, that there might be many that are brought into your kingdom by virtue of an item in this box. Lord God, we commit these to you. We ask you to fashion a blessing for everyone who took the time and energy to pack a box, to purchase an item, to make sure that funds were available for the postage. Lord, bless each one. But most of all, Father, may your kingdom be expanded and that many souls come to know you. We love you and thank you for your great love expressed to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's in his name that we pray by the person and power of the Holy Spirit as you work out your purposes to your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And what a blessing it was to see that these children come down and bring these boxes down here. Children bringing the gifts that are going to go around the world to other children. And I hope that blessed you in watching that. And talk about blessings. And I'm guilty of this, and God forgive me, but I don't thank God enough for the blessings that he's given me in my life. Sometimes it's so easy just to go on about your daily life, but God is always blessing us in good times and in difficult times. And it's sometimes we have to look back to our past to see that how he's touched us and how he's blessed us. So I hope you have thanked him for the blessings in your life. And so that's what brings us to our next hymn. It's going to be Count Your Blessings.
Are you ever burdened with the love?
Father God, we come before you now, and we are so thankful for all that we are blessed with, Lord, to live in this country where we're free to worship you, to have this fellowship of like-minded believers that come together in a desire to worship, to study your scripture, and to learn more about you. Father, I pray that you help us to be mindful, like Houston spoke to, of all that we have, all that we've been blessed with, and all that comes from you, to acknowledge that all that we have is yours, and that we take this opportunity to give back to you, a token of our appreciation. I pray that you use these offerings to the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Here, our offertory hymn will be hymn number 604, Come All Christians, Be Committed. 604.
Brother Houston, for leading. I do thank all the children that participated in bringing the boxes forward. Do be mindful they will be transported tomorrow in the morning time to Parkway Baptist Church, the receiving station in our area. And if, Jody, y'all need help doing that? Okay, right after church conference tonight will be when they'll be packing the vans and then parking those in a safe place until tomorrow morning they can be transported. So if you're willing to help with that, I'm sure that they would be glad to have help with that tonight. Well, we began this service by a celebration of giving as we displayed and dedicated these boxes for the use of the Lord, the purpose of bringing the gospel to children and hopefully to families around the world. We need to be sure that you praise the Lord for this kind of ministry, Samaritan's Purse, for kind of leading out in this ministry. Also for leaders like Joe and Jan and their team for prompting us and leading us. I want to thank all of those in the church body who have played a part. Now, some you gave items, some you filled boxes, others you filled boxes on your own, not just in the party, or you simply provided some financial support for some of the different things that go into it. I believe Robinson Foundation also gave a very nice donation to help with this cause. And so postage has gotten very expensive in sending these boxes. And so that will be a large help toward that success. And how does something like this happen? It's a source of inspiration and motivation that comes from one person. It is God. God's character is to give. He is the only God in all of religion that gives. Other gods expect man to give to them. But the Lord God, who's the creator of the heavens and the earth, the giver of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a giving God. And he plants within his people, those who come to trust him as their Savior and Redeemer, he puts giving in our hearts so that we're mindful of others who have need, others that are going through difficult times, and we are given the same kind of heart and character as our Father, our adopted Father. And so it's good that we might have been inspired perhaps by a video or a testimony from a video, maybe even someone who's put together boxes and shared with others how rewarding that is. But let's kind of look at what the real inspiration motivation is and remind ourselves of this morning as we get ready to send these boxes off tomorrow and then through the next month and two to see where they go. Join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15, kind of as a springboard. We'll begin to look at this issue this morning. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church, a second letter to the church at Corinth, addressing their responsibility and the joy that they would have in giving and being a part of blessing the needy saints in Jerusalem. Inside of that testimony and that exhortation, we find this. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it's written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ, for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray together. And Father, we thank you for a day of rest. We thank you for a day of worship. We thank you, Father, for the great privilege of knowing you by grace through faith in Christ. We thank you, Father, for bestowing upon us your very presence in the person of the Spirit. And we thank you, Father, for every provision that's been brought into our lives so that we might be a ministry to others. Lord God, help us to continue to be good stewards of that prompting, that purpose that you've placed in our lives. This morning, Father, encourage our hearts as we look at these truths and that we're reminded of the source of this ministry of grace. Father, we love you. We exalt you today. You're worthy. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Now, just a few months ago, we used portions out of chapter 8 and 9 to bring a message on stewardship. And perhaps this morning we would consider this message a message on stewardship as well. But in light of the ministry before us, I would like for us to consider how the emphasis might be a little bit different, but remind ourselves of how we manage the provisions the Lord has poured out into our hearts that happen to come from a great bountiful faithfulness of our God, and how that falls our responsibility. But I'd also like to remind you that this is also a challenge to consider upcoming opportunities to continue to give. As we enter into the holiday season, it lends itself to us being of the kind of heart where we're looking to help others and to give, not only of our finances, but of our energy and our time. And perhaps those are even greater resources that we have, and consider those that we protect the most. It's easier to take money out of the pocket and to give it to someone than it is to spend the time that it takes to do the things that need to be done. And so I would just throw this out as a challenge and remind you, we'll soon be celebrating Thanksgiving, as you all know, perhaps being with family. I know one of the ministries in town is going to spend the day handing out food. They're going to feed people in our community. What a marvelous blessing, opportunity there. Maybe you can do that in your home. Maybe you know of someone that's come down, some hard times have fallen upon them and their family, or maybe they've lost a loved one sometime this year, and this can be the first year they're without family, they're without that special person. Listen, that impacts people. You can be a ministry, and maybe they don't want to come sit in your home, but maybe you can be a blessing to them. Maybe you can take them a dish or a dessert, or maybe you can make sure to talk to them, call them on that day. Some kind of ministry to show them that you're thinking of them and love them. Maybe you have a neighbor and associate who's gone through difficult times. They lack the resources for the coming holidays, and you can be of some kind of help to them. Be creative. The Lord put a spirit inside of you as you think about what resources God's laid into your lap. How can you share those with others? John gives that kind of as a measure of our salvation. If you have a resource and you see someone with a need and you don't help them, you're just like an infidel, an unbeliever. So if we consider, what do I have in my possession that maybe someone else doesn't have but they have need of? How can I be a blessing to them? These are just considerations, and treat Christmas the same way. There will be some that perhaps will face Christmas for the first time without someone special, and it will be a difficult time. I think about the Wish Tree ministry that's coming up today, the last day to put in the nominations. These are children of homes that just have a difficult time. Maybe one of the parents has been incarcerated and they just do not have a resource for being able to enjoy a Christmas holiday like you and I do. You can be a help to them through that ministry. Maybe help financially, help pick out a family, minister in that way. The next month ushers in the Christmas season. We'll be collecting groceries to pack up some special Christmas boxes we give to some of the less fortunate in our community. We'll be packing those boxes Thursday and Friday, December 15th and 16th. You'll see details in your bulletin. And then we'll distribute those boxes, and it'll simply be, we'll have them here, and they'll come to pick them up. And sometimes just being out there, giving them a box and praying with them is a big ministry. So we encourage you, be thinking about and praying about how you can be a part of that. Upwards basketball season is right on around the corner. We had evaluations this week, and there are going to be children that are going to be on our campus. There are families that are going to be on our campus, some that have never heard of Jesus or perhaps have come from homes that do not trust the Lord. We can be a ministry to them. I know that there are needs for coaches. Halftime devotionals will need to be taken care of, and concession stands, people to be there and mingle with those who come. That will begin in January and run until early March. If you want to serve there, please contact Steve or one of the members of the Upwards team. These are just a few ministry opportunities on the horizon. I would ask you not to forget the Helping Hands ministry in our community. Remember the director deceased this past year and within the last couple of months, and that ministry is trying to continue helping in our community. If you can volunteer on a Monday or Thursday morning, I know that'd be a big help for them. And then if you can give items, food items, clothes items, that would certainly help them as well. Now, before you dismiss perhaps or decline these challenges, I would point us back to these words of encouragement from the Apostle Paul. I find them as words of encouragement. A reminder in verse 6, that first verse we read out of chapter 9 there in 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "This I say to you, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." These are agrarian terms, whoever plants just a little bit is going to get just a little bit back. Whoever throws a bunch of seed out there, more than likely going to get a lot in return. Now, this is not to say, okay, I'm going to go serve in a ministry to see what I get from God. However, what the context of this passage tells us is that as we serve the Lord and we are faithful to take whatever resources he pours into our life and see that they're used in a manner that helps others, God will continue to pour back into our lives those things that we need to supply that ministry so we can continue to give. It is God's way of kind of keeping us charged up. If we're walking in faithfulness and we're giving, he continues to pour blessing into our lives so that we can continue giving. That's his economy, as it were. The Lord works in that kind of way in our lives, and this passage really tells us that. This verse is not to say, okay, I'm gonna give and I'm gonna throw $100 in that fund for Operation Christmas Child so that I'll get something out of it. No, what we really get out of it is the reward that waits us in glory. Remember, we looked at this passage this morning. We are citizens of heaven. Our real home and our real consideration is about when this temporary life is over and eternity really starts beginning. Not that it hasn't already, but when it really starts beginning. When this day is over in our physical life, then eternity becomes very real. And there's reward there for those who've been faithful. This passage is really speaking to that. So, another place the Apostle Paul instructs the church, and this is in Philippians chapter 2, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition. This would be a reminder, kind of a connection to this passage of Scripture. While I want to sow abundantly so I reap bountifully, I keep in mind I know I'm not doing it for selfish ambition or vain conceit. But with a humility of mind, let each of you regard one another more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So this kind of keeps us in check. If I'm going to obey the Scripture, I'm going to make sure that I sow abundantly, and I don't do it for me. I do it so that others are blessed, because the Lord's going to honor that and continue to pour into my life what I need to be able to be a ministry to others. And so it's a counting on the Lord to continue to be a blessing to others. Listen, Jesus taught his disciples in Luke chapter 6, verses 31 to 36, I'm going to read this together. Write the number down, Luke 6, 31 to 36, or you can read it with me. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit's that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit's that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. Here's what he wants to get to. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father's merciful. I think one way to look at this is to say, just how merciful has the Lord been to me? And how can I now turn around and be merciful to someone else? And Jesus made that statement in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. When you've received mercy from the Lord, and him calling you to himself and saving your soul, you will be more inclined to exercise mercy towards others who have need, and especially to those who can't pay you back, to those who just have no way to be able to reciprocate. What a blessing that is when you can give and minister to someone who's truly in need in such a way. Reading a bit further in our text, we find this real motivation and reason for the statement that we are to sow abundantly. Look at verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. God is constantly, as we mentioned, pouring into your life so that you are equipped and able to pass on that ministry to others. A ministry that's been poured into your life to help others. God is the one who makes that grace abound. The reaping that you will find will be God's return for your faithfulness so that you can continue to have an abundance and keep giving for the good of others and the glory of the Lord God. And verse 10 and 11 reiterate that. He who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. So he continues to speak about the source of this is God. And it is so that every good deed that we do points right back to him. These boxes that we send off, listen, they're not about us. They're not about Robinson Foundation. They're not about a committee. Although all of those things work together, the items in this box and the way they impact the heart is about the Lord God and his kingdom and the fact that he's Redeemer and he's looking to call people into his kingdom. And he does that through the works of his people. So that's why we participate. As we're sowing, we will see a harvest being reaped. Now, back in verse 7 of our text, the apostle appears to leave room for personal conviction. Don't just do things because the pastor's standing up here and telling you this is how it ought to be. Listen to what the apostle says. He says, each one must do just as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, that is, being forced or compelled to do it, because God loves a cheerful giver. The Lord's Spirit will work in you. Listen, you might say, well, I can go through an entire week without thinking about this ministry, and I really don't have a heart for it. But let me ask you this. Pray about what God wants you to do in it. You're going to find it very difficult to escape conviction of heart or a compelling by the Spirit. And then walk in that conviction. The Apostle Paul says in another place, if I'm convicted over a thing and I don't do it, it's sin to me. So we should pray in any ministry that we participate in, what do you want me to do, Lord God? And then as he moves our hearts in that, we respond accordingly. And I would tell many of you have done just that. You've listened to the Lord, you've prayed about this, and you've responded accordingly. And now as a result of that, there's been a sizable and nice reaping that's taking place. And we hope to see it spiritually bring forth a harvest in the days to come. We're depending upon these resources that the Lord's purposed in our hearts to send out so that children who open these gifts up will respond to the gospel. I think it pleases the Father when he sees us acting like him, that we are like the Father in this ministry of giving. He calls us to be like him. He calls us to imitate him. He says, I am perfect, so you be perfect. You can't get around that the Lord is saying, you're my child, and as a parent, I want you to be like me. Just as we want our children to be like us, and hopefully we conduct ourselves in such a manner that that turns out to be a good thing. But the Father must be overwhelmingly pleased when we take on the seriousness of giving and pass it on to others and are willing to loosen our grip, you might say, on the things that have fallen into our hands and allow them to be used as a blessing from God. You have a greater likelihood of seeing those kinds of reactions to the blessings in your life make a greater difference in the kingdom of God if you will let them loose. Jim Elliot was a missionary, to an indigenous people in South America. And he said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to keep or to gain what he cannot lose. He's no fool who will loosen his grip on that which he can't take into eternity with him to find that it will bring a gain that he will never lose. The Lord provides a salvation for his people. That's in the bag for believers. And now what you do with that gift of Christ, with the abundance he's poured into your life, this will bring forth a great fruitful harvest. Notice what Paul goes on to say here. I think it's important for us to give this a little bit of attention. So whoever willfully and joyfully brings to others in the name of Christ items that they need, abundance for their good, you will always have something to give, because the Lord will assure you to have an abundance for every good deed. That's why I've identified the message today, for every good deed. Because we can do some deeds, and we can do them out of the flesh. I can say, I'm going to do this so that I get my name on a plaque somewhere, or so that people recognize that I've done this great thing. But those things that are done in the name of Christ, those are the good deeds. Those are the ones he acknowledges. Those are the ones that he uses to his glory, that expand the work of his kingdom. And it's an abundance for those good deeds that will honor the name of the Lord. But what are the rewards that we'll get from this? I think the Apostle Paul gives us at least an idea through these last verses here, verse 10 through 15. And some are heavenly rewards and some are earthly rewards. This first one, verse 10, a harvest of your righteousness. Notice at the end of verse 10, he said, he who supplies the seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now, you and I own no righteousness of our own, not that which will bring honor to the Lord, until the Spirit comes to live within us. Then we have his righteousness. We have the righteousness of Christ. We are equipped for every good work, so that we can take what he pours into our life, pass it on, and it reflects back upon the righteousness of Christ. But he's speaking about a harvest of that righteousness. When we act and do good deeds that are selfless and are for the good of others, they bring back a reward, a harvest, as you were. And that harvest is based upon this righteousness, and it reflects, especially in heaven. Many of us will not see the return on your work on this side of glory until you pass away, go to the Lord, or till the Lord comes to take you to be with him. There are some things we're just not going to see the fruition, the fulfillment of, until that time. But the scripture, and we mentioned this, tells us, be patient and endure. Just hang in there, because the day's coming. Paul said that last week. We talked about him. So we endure until that day when we see the fulfillment of this righteousness. Souls that will walk up to us and say, wow, thank you for being faithful to share that Bible study over Facebook, or to sit with my daughter and to talk with her when she had a difficult time, or that you spent time with my child in Sunday school, because now that child and all my grandkids know the Lord. That those kind of things will come back one day and be real to you. I mean, some of those may not be exposed in this lifetime. Some might. You might be able to hear from one of the children whose box they receive from you, and maybe they'll talk to you about what the Lord's done in their life. That would be an incredible blessing. That might be an earthly evidence of the fruit of your righteousness. But we don't know that. But that is a real reward that the Apostle Paul notes here. That we can point to the one who supplies the seed and the bread, and we can see that it increases the harvest of our outpouring. When we pass that on to others, it becomes a blessing to others. I have a lot of other notes written here, but we'll not go into that. I think some of the earthly reward from a harvest of righteousness is that you grow as a believer in your sanctification. Perhaps it's a trial or a sacrifice for you to pack a box. Maybe it's not been easy for you to get together the items you need. The Lord notices that. That's part of your sanctification. That's what helps you to grow into the image of Jesus. We start to get a taste of what it was for Jesus to give himself on the cross for all of us and our sins. It was a sacrifice. It's part of our growth, our spiritual maturity. Perhaps it invests in the spiritual maturity of someone else. This is the harvest of righteousness. This is what the Apostle Paul's pointing to. And it can be heavenly, it can be earthly. In verses 11, 12, and 15, we find the Apostle Paul referring to this thanksgiving. Look at verse 11. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, That means he'll pour everything in your heart liberally, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. When we are faithful to give, we do these good deeds, we pour out ourselves, what's been poured into our lives, and pass it on to others, it produces thanksgiving to God. For one thing, you and I can give thanksgiving to God. Or others who've been impacted by that blessing down the road will acknowledge, boy, the Lord blessed. Some little child is going to receive, and maybe more than one child will receive a box and will go, thank you, God, for reaching into my life here. I've been to some foreign nations where they live in huts and where they don't have the convenience to go turn a nozzle, to turn on water, or to go to the refrigerator and open it up and grab something out of there, or a pantry even for that matter. They live day to day. They plant crops and they go pull crops every single day for their sustenance. We are so blessed in this nation. But it may provide a heart of thanksgiving for a child. But especially, there's going to be thanksgiving in glory. There's going to be celebration and thanksgiving for every good deed that's been done, relying upon the resources of the Lord God poured out in and through our lives for the good of others. There's going to be thanksgivings. The angels will sing. The living creatures will sing. The elders will sing. You and I will join together with all the saints in glory. We will sing together the praises and thanksgivings of a God who's been faithful to supply every need that we had for whatever it was he called us to. Great heavenly rewards. We see that in verse 11. You see it again in verse 12. The ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, and that's a reference to those in Jerusalem as they combine their gifts with the Macedonians, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. You know that those saints who were serving in very difficult situation were grateful to God that these gifts will come to them, would come to them and minister to them in their time of need. But then they would also be eternally grateful as well. And then lastly, in verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, because it is Christ who prompts us to be this faithful and to give. So thanksgiving poured out, earthly and heavenly reward there. And through it all, in verse 13, God will be glorified because of the proof given by this ministry. They will glorify God for your obedience. Reference to the saints, I would say reference to those who receive these boxes. Reference to anyone who receives a blessing from you through this holiday season or in the ministry of Upwards or in any other ministry that you put your hands to. There will be thanksgiving, but there will be glorification of God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ. And what's the confession of our gospel? We love the Lord Jesus Christ because he invested in our lives and now we're going to serve him. Obedience to his commands. And for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, there is great glory given, but especially in heaven. There are at least three references in the Revelation record where there's going to be this corporate worship that takes place. The first setting I found is in chapter 4 of verse 11 in Revelation. The 24 elders will fall down before the one who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne saying, worthy are you, our Lord, our God, to receive glory, honor, power, because you created all things and because of your will, they existed and were created. So there's glory given to the Father for his creation, for the abundant supply. And then over in chapter 5, verse 12, the angels will gather around the throne, the living creatures, elders, myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands, this is millions of people saying with a loud voice, the millions of the redeemed saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. He'll be glorified in that. And then in chapter 7, verse 12, we find another song that'll be sang by the combined corporate worship of the angels and the elders and all the creatures. Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Those are only three instances that are given to us in the Revelation record of that kind of worship. I suspect there will be more opportunities than three. I suspect we'll be worshiping the Lord, we'll be glorifying his name and lifting him up because of all that he poured out into our lives. And so the rewards are eternal. This sowing is the temporary part, and the reaping to me is the eternal part. Now there are earthly rewards, thanksgiving to the Lord God, as noted in verse 11, 12, and 15 of our text. While we wait the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, our service to him can result in gratitude to the Father by those who are recipients of the ministry that you extend towards them. Every year at Thanksgiving, through the year when God's provisions are undeniable, we express thanksgiving to God. I hope that you do that on a regular basis and not just seasonally, not just once a year, but that you're constantly reminded of God's provision for you. Then verse 12, supplying the needs of the saints. This is another earthly reward. Saints' needs are met when believers come together and are prompted by the Holy Spirit to give. For those who are suffering, listen, there are multitudes of believers around the world who, if they came into a setting to worship, would be attacked and killed, imprisoned, denied the opportunity. We are so favored and blessed in this nation to have the opportunity to come together and worship. There are many saints that don't. And when you are faithful to give to their needs, there is great thanksgiving and supplying of those needs for the saints, local and afar. Listen, we're going to look at budget tonight. Part of our evangelism and missions section in our budget is that we give to local ministries, we give to foreign ministries, we give to ministries all over. Now, there are thousands of ministries we could give to, but we give to the ones that we have deemed these are good for us to be giving to so that we meet needs of saints around the world. And as long as we're faithful to do that, the Lord will continue to be faithful to pour out blessings upon us so that we can do that ministry. And that's true in your individual life as well. Corporately we do that, individually we can do that, meeting the needs of the saints. And then the one thing that's here, it might get easily overlooked, is in verse 14 where the Apostle Paul then says, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God they see in you. When you serve others, it's amazing, especially believers, in their thanksgiving to God and their glorifying him and their praising him for all things and perhaps passing things on, they pray for you. They pray for you. I don't know about you. I covet prayers. I need prayers. Each of us needs prayer. We need someone praying for us to help upgird us. Listen, somebody's going to pray for you in a different way than you would pray for yourself. And that might prove to be just the blessing you need. We need to pray for one another. And part of the reward is that we are prompted to pray for one another so that we continue to be liberal in our giving for every good deed that's before us so that it points back to the God who gave us that blessing so that we could be liberal. And I found a commentary that reflected and gave this statement. If the sowing be liberal and the seed be good, so too the crop. In other words, if you give abundantly and what you give is good, there will be a great harvest. I probably could have just said that from the beginning, right? This is what the Word says to us this morning. The source of inspiration and motivation for us giving is the Lord Himself, who is the God who gives. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ who came before us. Back in chapter 8, Paul is talking about this generosity topic. But in verse 9, here's what he prompts the believers to reflect upon. And I would challenge us to do that too. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. So that you through his poverty might become rich. That's the reward. Maybe not in this lifetime, but in eternity that he has fashioned and secured for every believer, you're made rich. Because he who was rich became poor for our sakes. And he humbled himself and gave himself on the cross to die for the sin we should have died for. And then he, having satisfied the Father, was raised to life so that he can continue to offer forgiveness and eternal life to all who will believe. That's why we give, because he gave. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit continues to dwell within his people so that we're prompted to continue to be like our Father who's in heaven and to be made into the image of Jesus. I don't know any other greater givers than the Father, Son, and Spirit. And I'm grateful that he allows us to be recipients of such blessing. May we be found faithful and good stewards to pass that on to others in the days to come. And the key is Christ Jesus. Back in chapter 8, verse 5, the Apostle Paul made this observation as he was talking about the Macedonians who were faithful to give for the saints in Jerusalem. He said, and they gave. They begged us to give and participate in the support of the saints. And this, not as we'd expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. You know, that's really the key. You can give. You can be a philanthropist. And you can be a very generous person. But it will not be to the glory of God until you first give yourself to the Lord. And maybe there's one or more in this place today. You've not yet yielded yourself to Jesus. The one who gave his son so that you might live forever. The one who left riches to come down to poverty so that he might buy for us eternal riches. Perhaps today you would trust this God, be a recipient of his gift of eternal life, this indescribable gift that's mentioned in verse 15 of this chapter. And then you would be able to give for every good deed supplied by the Father who gives richly. Let's enter into a time of response. I pray that your hearts have been encouraged to the ministries that are before us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit who gives life to that word and plants inside of our hearts so that we might not only be hearers of the word but doers. Lord God, I entrust this flock, your flock, to you this morning, and that the freedom of the Holy Spirit would move amongst us. Lord God, draw us closer to you. Help us, Father, to be inspired and motivated by the truths that we heard out of your word today. Lord God, that we might honor you, see you glorified and thanked appropriately in the days to come and especially in eternity. Father, do your work in our hearts so that we might be faithful to put our hands to the task, to every good deed as you supply out of your abundance. Again, to your glory we pray it, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond. I'll be here at the front to pray with you. The altar will be open. Let's take time to respond.
Take my life, lead me,
our Father, use us as we commit ourselves to your hands, to your will. Be glorified and exalted. And Lord God, help us to get glimpses of the fruit of these works. Lord God, we love you and thank you for Christ. Continue to move us and prompt us by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. God bless you. Hope to see you tonight. We have discussion on the budget, and deacons, we'll see y'all four.
All right, let's close today with the family of God. I'm